The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 81. Bloody liar. Rupert drunkenly mumbled the name Candy nonstop last night. Heather got confused. Who was Candy? Judging from Rupert's tone, it seemed he missed Candy so much. Heather ordered someone to investigate it overnight. The private investigator soon revealed that Rupert had been searching for a girl nicknamed Candy for years. It turned out that the girl was kidnapped with him when he was young. At this realization, Heather's joy knew no bounds. She was happy to learn that Rupert wasn't in love with Annabelle like she earlier suspected. Since Rupert had searched everywhere for this Candy and couldn't find her, maybe she was dead. The dead couldn't tell tales. How about she stole Candy's identity? Perhaps Rupert might just end up marrying her. At the thought of this, Heather gently pulled up her dress to expose her thighs. She took on a seductive posture. Leaning in close, she said coquettishly, "Rupert, we missed each other for so many years. Life is short. From now on, we should never be apart." Rupert frowned coldly. He took Heather's words with a pinch of salt. He had never heard anything about her kidnap before now. More so, she wasn't anything like Candy. How then could they be the same person? Noticing that the doubt in Rupert's eyes, Heather's heart began to beat fast. However, she mustered up the courage to put her hands around Rupert's neck. "Rupert, I know you love me, just like I love you. People who are in love should be together, right?" Heather was infatuated with this handsome man even though he didn't treat her well. She wished time could stop so she could be in this intimate position forever. She wanted him, all of him. Sitting still, Rupert inhaled Heather's fragrance. It was nothing like Candy's. Rupert pulled his head back and gave her a murderous glare. He pushed her away and roared, "Get off me." The hard push jarred Heather out of her land of fantasy. She crashed to the floor before she knew what was happening. A sharp pain shot from her tailbone to the top of her back. She held her back and looked at Rupert's fiery eyes that pierced through her heart like a thousand swords. "Ouch. Rupert, why did you treat me like this?" she cried. "Because you are a bloody liar." With a cold and alienated look, Rupert stared at Heather. "Do you think you can fool me? I know you are not Candy." "I am Candy," Heather shouted unwillingly. She struggled to get up from the floor. "Last night, you kept calling me Candy. You said you loved me and that you have never loved any other woman. I tried to leave, but you begged me to stay. You kissed me passionately, and we had sex. Have you forgotten?" Rupert pulled a long face. He glared at Heather. Did he really call her Candy and have sex with her last night? No. Rupert was sure that he had never touched her. "Heather, do you have a screw loose or something?" Rupert stood up, looking down at her. "If there's something wrong with you up there, you should go see a psychiatrist." "What did you mean? Are you saying that I'm crazy?" Biting her lower lip, Heather reached out her hand and grabbed Rupert, who was about to leave. "You were with me all night. We are both hot-blooded adults, and you were drunk. What did you think happened? You must take responsibility for what you did to me. Get your hands off me," Rupert said coldly. But Heather held his arm more tightly. The fury in his eyes could start a fire as he pushed Heather away mercilessly. He whipped out his phone from his pocket. It was turned off. Rupert quickly turned it on. There were many missed calls and messages. "Mr. Benton, it's almost time for the shoot at Lover Lake. Will you be there? I have been trying to reach you, Mr. Benton. But your line isn't going through. We are on our way there. Please respond once you get this." These messages were all from Finley. Rupert raised his left hand and looked at his watch. It was almost noon. He had planned to go to Lover Lake with Annabelle today to supervise the shooting of the outdoor advertisement of Ice and Fire. But he missed it. Rupert was upset. Why did he get drunk last night? Just then, his phone rang. The caller was Finley. "What's up?" asked Rupert, pressing the phone against his ear. "Finally. I have been trying to reach you for hours," Finley exclaimed. "Something happened to Annabelle?" "Something happened to Annabelle?" Rupert frowned. He asked with concern and nervousness, "What's wrong with her?" Finley answered, "Kathy testified that Annabelle pushed Nina into the lake. She has been taken to the station to make a statement. I'll be right there." Rupert strode toward the door the moment he hung up the phone. "Where are you going, Rupert?" Heather shouted behind him. She had vaguely heard the names of Annabelle and Nina as she eavesdropped on the call. She thought that Nina succeeded with the plan. Judging from the nervous look on Rupert's face, Heather guessed that something terrible must have happened to Annabelle. Perhaps Annabelle drowned. With a smug smile, Heather said, "Rupert, wait for me." But Rupert ignored her and walked out of the house. Heather chased after him and asked with feigned concern, "Rupert, did something happen? You seem to be in a rush. Where are you going?" "I'll drive you there, so you can get there faster." The house was located at the foot of the mountain in the suburb. Taxis rarely passed this place, and the nearest bus stop was several kilometers away. Rupert was in a hurry now. He thought for a while and said, "Okay." The moment Heather heard this, she excitedly led him to the garage and unlocked her luxury car. They both got in. Sitting in the driver's seat, Heather started the ignition. She turned her head to look at the man she was infatuated with and asked sweetly, "Where are we headed, Rupert?" "The police station," Rupert replied simply, his eyebrows furrowed with worry. The police station? Why was he going to there? Shouldn't he be on his way to Lover Lake to see Annabelle's corpse? Resisting her doubts, Heather drove her car at a high speed as Rupert urged her impatiently. She sped past one red light after another until they arrived at the police station. The car had barely halted when Rupert opened the door and jumped out. He walked straight into the police station, forgetting who drove him here. "Mr. Benton, you're here." Finley had been pacing about in the hallway of the station. "Where is Annabelle?" Rupert asked anxiously after seeing that she was nowhere around. Chapter 82 An appointment with Rory. As soon as Rupert spoke, a hush fell over the police station. Nearly everyone in Daubug knew Rupert. He was the head of the Benton family, the most powerful family in Daubug, as well as the president of Benton Group. He was very well esteemed. Finley flicked a glance in the confession room's direction and replied, "Both she and Kathy are giving their statements." Rupert had always been a calm and composed man. This was the first time Finley had seen him so worried. Annabelle seemed to be very important to him. Hearing this, Rupert said frostily, "Let's go and take a look." Heather, who was standing behind Rupert, was flabbergasted. Annabelle and Kathy were giving statements. Why? Did that mean Annabelle was fine? What the hell had Nina done? Why didn't she take advantage of such a good opportunity to kill Annabelle? The chief of the police station approached Rupert and said respectfully, "Mr. Benton, this way please." Rupert walked to the door of the confession room with measured steps and spotted Annabelle sitting there composedly. A policewoman sat across from her and was recording her statement. "Annabelle." Rupert walked into the room. His eyes shone with concern as he asked, "Are you all right?" Looking up, Annabelle ignored Rupert and looked at Heather instead, who was standing behind him. So, Rupert was indeed with Heather last night. Annabelle's heart clenched painfully. She looked away from them indifferently and asked sarcastically, "What? Did you want me to be in trouble?" Rupert was stunned. He could clearly feel the anger radiating from her. Did this woman blame him for not reaching Lover Lake on time? Indeed, if he had gone there today, this incident wouldn't have taken place. He wouldn't have allowed Annabelle to go to such a remote place, let alone let anyone harm her. "That's not what I meant," Rupert explained patiently. Annabelle dropped her gaze and ignored him. Rupert narrowed his eyes slightly and shifted his attention to the policewoman who was recording Annabelle's statement. He asked icily, "What are you doing right now?" "I've just finished recording her statement," the policewoman answered instantly. The person who was accompanied by the chief of the police station must be an important person. Rupert nodded and asked, "Can my fiancé leave now?" "Fiancé? Both the police chief and the policewoman were shell-shocked. Annabelle must be someone important since Rupert came to the police station to pick her up. But they didn't expect her to be his fiancée. Now that Rupert had personally arrived to collect her, it only meant Annabelle wasn't the murderer. The police chief immediately nodded and said, "Sure, Mr. Benton, don't worry, we will uncover the truth." Rupert nodded. When Rupert and Annabelle left the confession room, they happened to bump into Kathy, who had just finished giving her statement and was leaving another room. As soon as Kathy spotted Rupert, she rushed to him and exclaimed, "Rupert, you're here." Her face darkened. She pointed at Annabelle and said, "Rupert, Annabelle pushed Nina into the lake today. I witnessed it with my own eyes. Why are you still with this murderer?" Annabelle frowned. Would Kathy stop accusing her of being a murderer? She had reached her limit with it. Did she think she could twist the truth by throwing around a few words? She was so stupid. Annabelle said grimly, "Kathy, I came to the police station to give a statement, just like you. Please don't label me a murderer, or I will sue you for defamation. I saw it happen with my own eyes. How can it be called slander?" Kathy retorted. She turned her eyes to the police chief and said, "Annabelle is the murderer. How can you release her? Why don't you throw her into prison?" The chief was at a loss for words. What were they doing? Rupert's cousin claimed that his fiancée was a killer. This was so weird. The conduct of a wealthy family was truly beyond the comprehension of the common man. "Enough, Kathy. The police will discover the truth. I don't want to hear any rumors about Annabelle before the truth comes out," Rupert said frostily and scowled. He didn't believe that Annabelle would push Nina into the lake. On the contrary, he believed that Nina must have engineered this accident and deserved her fate. She had attempted to kill Annabelle in the garage, which was the best proof. "Rupert." Kathy bit her lower lip and stared at him in disbelief. She had already stepped forward to testify against Annabelle. Why was Rupert still helping her? Rupert ignored Kathy, glanced at Annabelle and said, "Let's go." As Annabelle watched Heather standing behind Rupert, her spirit sank and her mind flashed back to the phone call last night. "I have an appointment with Rory tonight." Annabelle swept her eyes around the hall, looking for Rory. Rory had come to the police station with her. Why was he missing now? As she continued looking around for him, she finally spotted him on the phone in the corner of the hall. She went to him and said, "Rory, I've finished giving my statement. Let's go." As soon as Rory disconnected the call, he saw Annabelle standing in front of him. With a bright smile, he said, "Okay." Noting how Rory did nothing to hide his admiration for Annabelle, Rupert demanded unhappily, "Annabelle, do you dare to leave?" "Why wouldn't I?" Annabelle and Rory walked out side by side under Rupert's glacial glare. Rupert and Heather had just spent a romantic night together, and now he was trying to control her. How ridiculous. "Rupert, let's go back. Rupert, let's go back." Kathy and Heather spoke at the same time. Rupert shot Finley a distant look and said, "Let's go back to the office." Finley couldn't stop the shiver that ran down his spine under Rupert's stony gaze. As Heather watched Rupert's distant and emotionless back, she was filled with resentment. Why did Rupert behave so stonily with her? She loved him so much, but he treated Annabelle so well instead of sparing her a second glance. Why on earth couldn't she compare with Annabelle? And Annabelle was still alive. Not only was she still breathing, but she walked out of the police station safe and sound as well. Nina was such a fool. She couldn't even take care of such a small task. Heather's fingers curled into a fist. "You bitch, Annabelle. I won't spare you." Chapter 83 Dinner Crasher. Rupert left the police station in Finley's car. He and Finley headed for the company. A cold expression was on Rupert's handsome face as he stared at the car in front of him. It was Rory's. At this moment, Annabelle was sitting in the passenger seat. "Follow them," Rupert commanded in a deep voice. Stunned, Finley asked, "Aren't we going back to the company?" There's a meeting tonight. Just do as I say. Rupert gave him a cold glance. And cancel the meeting. Okay, sir. Finley nodded when he saw that his boss was dead serious. He began to tail Rory's car. Rory took Annabelle to a high-end restaurant. He had earlier asked his assistant to reserve the entire restaurant in advance. His fans, especially the female ones, were crazy. He didn't want anyone to disturb his dinner with Annabelle. To prevent what happened the last time from repeating itself, Rory ordered the owner of the restaurant not to let anyone in. What would you like to have, Annabelle? They make the best steak here. You should try it, Rory said in a mellow voice, handing Annabelle the menu. Annabelle leafed through the menu and said absent-mindedly, I'll have steak then. Annabelle, is anything the matter? You don't seem happy. Is it because of what happened to Nina? Rory asked with concern when he noticed the gloom on her face. Not at all. Annabelle flashed a frozen smile. I don't care about that trifle. Why then are you in a bad mood? Rory asked again. He noticed that her mood seemed off since this morning. Since it was not because of what happened at Lover Lake, why then was she unhappy? Did it have anything to do with Rupert? Instead of answering the question, Annabelle changed the topic. By the way, didn't you say that you made the company's future development plan? Let's have a look together. Okay. Rory took out his iPad, opened the plan, and began to explain it to her. Annabelle moved closer to have a better look of the screen. Their heads were almost touching as they discussed earnestly. It was at this moment that Rupert arrived and saw those two through the window. He frowned at the sight of them. They were sitting so close and whispering to each other. There was a faint smile on Annabelle's face. If looks could kill, Rory would be dead now. Why were they so close? What was between Annabelle and Rory? Once Rupert couldn't take it anymore, he matched toward the entrance of the restaurant. The owner of the restaurant stopped him. I'm sorry, sir. You can't go in. The entire restaurant has been booked for tonight. Fuck off. Rupert roared, exuding a cold and intimidating aura. A cold shiver ran down the spine of the owner when he saw the fire in Rupert's eyes. Mr. Benton. Only now did he realize who was standing before him. This was Rupert Benton, a very powerful man. He couldn't afford to offend him. The next second, the owner opened the door and got out of the way, trembling in fear. The roar from outside interrupted the discussion Annabelle was having with Rory. She turned to the door, only to see Rupert walking toward her with a long face. She quickly put away the iPad and about to say something, but Rupert beat her to it. Take your things, Annabelle. We are leaving now. Annabelle turned a deaf ear to him. She picked up her cutlery and began to eat the steak. In a fit of pique, Rupert grabbed her left hand, causing the fork to fall to the plate. Let's go. Rory stood up and uttered, What's wrong with you, Rupert? Leave her be. Stay out of this, Rory. Rupert fired at him. He pushed him back down to his seat. Afterward, he pulled Annabelle up roughly. Let go of me, Rupert. Can't you see that I'm having dinner? Annabelle shook off his hand. I'll take you to have better steak somewhere else, Rupert offered despite his fury. Annabelle didn't take him up on it. She said coldly, The food here is good. I'll rather eat here. If you don't have anything else to say, please use the door. Don't disturb Rory and me while we dine. Rupert's face fell when he heard this. His anger quadrupled. Need I remind you who you are? Rupert asked, fuming. This woman had gone too far. How could she have a dinner date with another man when she was already engaged? Didn't she take him seriously as her fiancé? Need I remind you that it's only a 3-month contract? Annabelle asked back and pursed her lips. A 3-month contract? When Rory heard this, a flash of ecstasy appeared in his eyes. Was that to say that Annabelle and Rupert didn't love each other at all? So, he still had a chance. A vibrant energy filled Rory at the thought of this. He stood up, stepped forward and tried to pull Rupert away. You heard her. She doesn't want to go with you, so leave. Rupert sneered, Rory, you are wooing your boss, aren't you? Why are you so concerned about Annabelle now? Don't tell me you are a two-timer. Rory's face darkened. He fixed his eyes on Annabelle and said, "My boss is." Sensing that he might expose her true identity, Annabelle's heart began to beat fast. She quickly said, "Rory, I'll make it up to you some other time. You should go back home." "No way." Rory took her hand. "Since we came here together, we should leave together." He couldn't leave Annabelle alone with Rupert. Annabelle pulled back her hand and smiled. "You don't have to look out for me. I can handle it. Just go first, okay?" "No, I won't. I'll either stay or leave with you," Rory insisted. How could he leave first in such a situation? Annabelle became impatient. "Just leave. Can't I ask you for a simple favor?" Rory's heart ached at her impatient shout. He knew that she was dead serious now, and she never changed her mind whenever it was set on something. Rory took a look at her and said helplessly, "Fine. Just be careful." With that, he turned around and left. Rupert stared at Rory's back until he went out of sight. Finally, he turned around and looked at Annabelle with narrowed eyes. "What do you want?" Annabelle stepped back subconsciously. Rupert walked toward her slowly. Annabelle felt a cold chill on her back when she finally reached the hard wall. It wasn't until this moment that she realized she was trapped. Chapter 84 You Are Jealous. Rupert stepped forward and placed his hands on the wall on either side of Annabelle's head, trapping her between them. He pursed his lips slightly and said icily, "Annabelle, you're my fiancé. How dare you date another man in front of me?" Rupert's glacial expression chilled the atmosphere in the restaurant. Gazing into the angry eyes of the man in front of her, Annabelle fearlessly shot back, "Well, you can spend a romantic night with Heather. Why can't I have dinner with Rory?" As Annabelle's mind flashed back to the phone call last night and Heather's smug voice, she felt uncomfortable. When Rupert heard this, he was nonplussed for a moment. Spend a romantic night with Heather? What was she talking about? "How do you know I was with Heather last night?" Rupert asked with intense eyes. Annabelle glared at him and said, "If you don't want people to know about it, you shouldn't do it in the first place. It's none of your business how I found out." Rupert looked down at her. She was watching him with a pair of gorgeous eyes. Her stunning face was filled with jealousy, like a wife who was furious and jealous after catching her husband cheating on her with another woman. Rupert's lips quirked up into a small smile and he deliberately paused for several seconds before saying, "Annabelle, you're jealous, aren't you?" Although he asked a question, his tone was certain. Jealous. That was hilarious. Why would she be jealous? Rupert wasn't someone close to her. No. Annabelle glowered at him. "Rupert, who are you to me? Why should I be jealous? Your being with Heather is not my concern. You can have as many women as you want." Seeing Annabelle pissed off put Rupert in a good mood. His gaze zeroed in on her chattering lips. Suddenly, he leaned forward and kissed her, stopping her from saying anything else. Annabelle felt Rupert's warm lips, which made her heart race. It felt as if a strong current hit her at this moment. Her face flushed and she couldn't even gulp in a breath of air. Annabelle instinctively struggled to push him away, but Rupert pinned her to the wall, effectively trapping her. "Don't move," Rupert mumbled in a hoarse voice. A strong passion lit his bottomless eyes. He parted her lips and teeth with his tongue, sweeping it into her mouth. Her heart was pounding and her brain stopped working. For some reason, she stopped struggling. Rupert's and Annabelle's breaths were intertwined. His kiss was like a violent storm, domineering, passionate, and affectionate. The temperature in the restaurant continued to climb, and a romantic vibe was in the air. After a long time, when Annabelle thought she would pass out from a lack of oxygen, Rupert finally ended the overbearing and lingering kiss. "Rupert. You jerk." Annabelle returned to the present and glared at him, feeling shy and furious at the same time. What was she doing just now? Why didn't she push him away? Rupert smiled brightly, leaned closer to her ear, and said, I didn't do anything with Heather. Yesterday was my father's death anniversary. I went to the cemetery to pray to him and accidentally got drunk. Heather took me to her place. That's all. Nothing happened between us. Annabelle was a little taken aback. Was Rupert giving her an explanation? When Annabelle came back to her senses, she scoffed and said, I'm not interested in knowing if you did anything with Heather. Noting how Annabelle resembled a jealous woman, Rupert raised his eyebrows, grabbed her hand, and sat back at the table. Let's eat, he said lightly. To Annabelle's surprise, he called the waiter. Please get me a steak. Didn't you comment that the food here is not good? Annabelle asked crossly. Holding a knife and fork in his slender hands, Rupert elegantly took a bite of his steak. Have you ever heard that people are cheerful at happy events? When I'm in a good mood, I feel that everything else is also good. Annabelle asked, happy event? Was kissing her forcefully a happy event? Annabelle glared at him, and her stomach rumbled loudly. With a knowing smile, Rupert said, just eat. Don't starve yourself. Annabelle swallowed, brought her plate of steak closer to her, and began wolfing it down. There was no need for her to stay hungry. By the way, what was wrong with Nina today? Why did she create trouble for you again? Rupert stared at Annabelle. Nina wanted to push Annabelle into the lake, but she herself ended up drowning and was still unconscious. However, thanks to Kathy's and Anakin's testimony, Annabelle would still face trouble. The topmost priority right now was to find evidence of Nina's plot. Once they got that, this matter would be easily resolved. Annabelle sneered, it's all because of you. Don't you know that Nina loves you? Rupert chuckled. She was jealous again. What are you laughing at? Annabelle paused and scowled. The man was up to no good. Nothing. With a small smile playing on his lips, Rupert glanced at Annabelle. She looked so adorable when she was jealous. Noticing that Annabelle finished her steak quickly, Rupert extended his hand and transferred the steak he had just cut from his plate to Annabelle's. Try mine. The restaurant felt quite warm for some reason. Just then, Rupert's phone rang. Finley was calling. What's the matter? Rupert answered the call. Mr. Benton, our men located Kabir, Finley reported respectfully. Rupert nodded and asked, have you discovered who ordered him? No, he passed away in a car crash the day after we found him. Finley's voice held a twinge of regret. They had been so close to discovering who was behind the accident in the studio. Unfortunately, all their efforts were wasted. Dead. Rupert's eyes narrowed. Keep investigating. Yes. When Rupert disconnected the call, Annabelle asked, what's wrong? Rupert replied, Finley's men tracked down Kabir, but the latter died in a car accident. What? Dead. Annabelle was quite bewildered. How could such a coincidence happen that Kabir died just one day after Finley located him? Someone seemed to be pulling the strings from behind the scene. Who was it? Chapter 85 Aggressive protest. The following morning, Annabelle went to the police station again. Two police officers took her to Lover Lake and she told them in detail how yesterday's incident had happened. They took down notes and didn't dare to omit any information. After all, Rupert told them to dig up the truth and prove Annabelle's innocence immediately. It was almost noon when Annabelle arrived at Benton Group. The moment she got out of the taxi, several people rushed out of nowhere and surrounded her. Who are you? What do you all want from me? Annabelle asked warily. She didn't know these people, and they all looked vicious. Were they here to rob her in broad daylight? Annabelle Hewitt. A gray-haired woman walked out of the crowd and grabbed Annabelle's clothes. Look, everyone. She's the murderer. Frowning, Annabelle pushed the middle-aged woman and asked coldly, who are you? And why are you shouting at me? Don't you know who I am? You killed my daughter. The woman managed to keep her balance. Then, she charged at Annabelle again with red eyes. You are such a vicious woman. You pushed my daughter into the lake. My poor daughter is only 25 years old. But she's in a coma because of you. I don't know if she will ever wake up. Oh, what would I do without Nina? It turned out she was Nina's mother. It dawned on Annabelle that these people were Nina's relatives and friends who came to make trouble for her. I didn't kill anyone. Your daughter is still alive. Shouldn't you be by her side instead of wailing here? Annabelle folded her arms over her chest and looked down at her coldly. A coma wasn't a death sentence. There was still hope for Nina. A caring mother was supposed to be by her daughter's side. But here this woman was, making a scene in front of the Benton Group building. How interesting. Bitch. How dare you talk back at me? Nina's mother, Talia Jones, gave Annabelle a hot slap the next second. You shameless bitch. I'll tear you into pieces for what you did. You don't know who you are messing with. Are you crazy? When Talia was about to strike another blow, Annabelle caught her hand and pushed her away. Talia fell to the ground this time. She sat there and shed tears. Ah! Did you see that, everyone? This murderer wants to kill me like she killed my beloved daughter. Look at her face. She's evil. Don't let her fool you. The people who came with Talia were enraged. They shouted at Annabelle. One of them pulled out a banner with red text, Annabelle is a murderer. Blood for blood. The group of people began to chant at the top of their voices. Many passers-by stopped to watch and film the scene. Some even joined in cussing Annabelle out. She is so beautiful. How can she be a murderer? Haven't you heard that beautiful women are the most dangerous? This woman is certainly no exception. Wow, I can see that now. More and more people gathered to watch the extraordinary scene. Seeing this, Talia upped her acting game. She raised her hands, looked up to the sky, and screamed like an aggrieved person. Oh, Nina, why are you so unlucky? Why did you meet the devil's daughter when you were only trying to make ends meet? She pushed you into the lake just because you were better than her. She deserves to die, not you. I can't leave without you, Nina. I'll join you if you die. Annabelle couldn't take this madness anymore. Her head was banging now. Get out of the way, she yelled, looking down at Talia coldly. Talia stared at Annabelle and yelled back, I won't go anywhere until I get justice for my daughter. I want everyone to see you for the murderer that you are. The security guards who heard the noise walked out of building. When they saw that Annabelle was being harassed by all these people, they walked over. The head said, this is a private establishment, not a protest ground. Please leave. Guards, you came right on time. Don't allow this murderer into the premises. Arrest her instead. Talia grabbed a security guard's arm. If you don't get out of the way, I'll call the cops on you, Annabelle said coldly, raising the phone in her hand. You have slandered me and disrupted public order. Do you want to go to jail? Talia shouted, how dare you threaten me? She turned to her cohorts and asked, why are you all standing there? Why don't you take revenge for Nina now? As if controlled by a puppet string, the brawny men charged toward Annabelle. One of them reached out to grab her arm. Annabelle was in a fix. Just as she put up her hands to fight back, a cold and sharp voice came. Don't you dare! Annabelle looked up to see Rupert striding toward her. His aura was so nerving that everyone here quivered. The crowd split in half. Even the wailing Talia fell silent as she stared at him with wide eyes. Rupert stopped when he got to Annabelle. He held her hand with tenderness in his eyes. Are you hurt? His concern and gentle touch warmed Annabelle's heart greatly. No, I'm good. She shook her head, staring into his eyes. Finley, who was on Rupert's heels, frowned and said coldly, who are you and why are you making trouble here? Talia replied in a shaky voice, I'm Nina's mother. Annabelle pushed my daughter into the lake. She's a murderer. How dare you slander Annabelle? A hint of disgust flashed through Finley's eyes. He turned to the head of security guards and ordered, drive them away. Holding her hand, Rupert led Annabelle into the company. "Why didn't you call me? You could have gotten hurt." He had been enjoying the view from his office when he saw the pandemonium outside. He feared that Annabelle would have gotten hurt if he had shown up later. Annabelle smiled faintly. "I thought I could handle it myself." Rupert lowered his head slightly, leaned in close, and whispered in her ear, "I'm always here for you, Annabelle. Next time, don't face such things all by yourself." Why this man was so proud and flirtatious? Annabelle blushed. "See you later." Then she rushed to the secretary's office. Rupert smiled faintly, looking at her receding figure. He found her extremely charming whenever she was shy. Once Annabelle got to her desk, she received the promotional photos the photographer sent. She carefully looked at them one after the other. The photos taken indoors the last time were good. Annabelle pursed her lips with satisfaction. "Oh my God!" exclaimed Eve, the employee sitting next to Annabelle. "You have got to see this, Annabelle. You are trending on online." Chapter 86 Slanderous Gossips. She was trending online? Annabelle whipped out her phone from her bag and logged onto Facebook. A viral post popped up on her feed. It read, "An employee of Benton Group has been accused of attempted murder and publicly assaulting the victim's mother." There were pictures attached to this post. It was stated in the body of the post that Annabelle intentionally pushed Nina into Lover Lake and that two eyewitnesses already testified against her, but the police still didn't detain the culprit. It was further said that Nina's mother went to seek justice for her, but Annabelle beat and pushed her to the ground. The attached photos indicated that Annabelle pushed Talia to the ground. However, the truth was that Annabelle had only slightly pushed Talia in self-defense. The cunning elderly woman sat on the ground to elicit sympathy. In contrast to the truth, Talia was made out to be the pitiful victim in this post. And Annabelle was labeled a vicious and unrepentant attacker. The comments that flooded the comment section were so harsh. Everyone roasted Annabelle without holding back. Annabelle stared at the screen for a while and frowned. This matter was turning into something else. The police hadn't concluded the investigation, but the public was already crucifying her and accusing her of the crimes she never committed. It was strange that everyone was against her without knowing her side of the story. The troll seemed to have been paid to add fuel to fire. Talia was an ordinary middle-aged woman. There was no way she could afford to do such. It appeared that one of Annabelle's many enemies was working against her now. Who could it be? Annabelle was pondering hard when her phone suddenly rang. As soon as she answered the phone, Anthony's voice came. "Hey, have you seen the viral post? Why are you trending?"
"Yes, I just saw it."
Annabelle smiled. "It's nothing actually. Someone just wants to ruin my reputation."
"Okay, but do you know who is behind this?
Just give me a name and I will sort this out for you right away," Anthony said angrily.
"Damn it. How dare they slander you?
I must put a stop to it. I'll hack the media system and clear it all up."
"You don't have to do that," Annabelle uttered casually.
"Since this person is so hungry for cheap popularity, they can go ahead and enjoy it while it lasts." Anthony was surprised. "Aren't you afraid that it will dent your reputation?"
Annabelle sneered, "I have been bored lately. This uproar is something interesting for a change. Let's just watch as the drama unfolds. I can tell it's going to be fun."
Anthony thought for a while and said, "You mean? Run a check on Nina for me," Annabelle suggested, leaning back in her seat. "Since Nina tried to hurt her, there must be clues she left behind." Anthony immediately understood.
"All right, I'm on it. Await good news soon."
After hanging up the phone, Annabelle's eyes turned cold. Her initial plan was to live a peaceful life in Daubug for 3 months. However, it seemed that wouldn't be possible now. Annabelle wasn't a pushover. She couldn't just sit back and watch someone drag her down. She woke up a little early in the morning. Talia and her cohorts had pestered her for a long time, so she felt a little sleepy now. Yawning,
Annabelle stood up and went to get herself a cup of coffee from the break room. In the hallway, many employees stole glances at her and whispered to each other. "Do you think the rumor is true? Did this gentle-looking woman push Nina into the lake? Don't be deceived by looks. Since the news is going viral, it must be true. Well, we can't say for sure. Anyone can start false rumors and make them believable. Even pretty and gentle people can be murderers. It's a jungle out there in the countryside. Perhaps Annabelle became vicious after spending all her years there. Annabelle turned a deaf ear to the gossip. She held her head up high and went to the break room without sparing any of the gossipers a glance. The vending machine was pouring dark coffee into Annabelle's cup when the door of the break room suddenly swung open. Annabelle sharply turned. She saw a tall figure come in. She was surprised. Rupert. The break room was for ordinary employees. Why was Rupert here? After all, his assistant was responsible for serving him whatever he wanted to take, be it coffee, tea, or juice. Rupert shut the door behind him and walked up to Annabelle. "Are you okay?" he asked, looking down at her with concern. "Huh? Why won't I be?" Annabelle took a sip of the hot coffee and set down the cup calmly. Rupert was stunned. "Haven't you seen the viral post online?" "Oh, that." Annabelle smiled. "I have seen it, but it's nothing. I'm not guilty, so why should I be bothered?" The calm look on Annabelle's face was a little out of Rupert's expectation. The curses online were a lot. Normally, getting bashed that much would make anyone sad. This was why he immediately made some calls for the post to be taken down. Thereafter, he rushed to check on Annabelle. After finding out that she was here, he didn't hesitate to come over. Never did it cross his mind that Annabelle would be here sipping coffee without giving a damn. Was she that strong? Or was she just pretending to be? Suddenly, Rupert reached out and held Annabelle's hand. He looked into her eyes and said assuredly, "Don't worry. I've asked people to take down the post. If any employee here is caught speaking ill of you, they will be fired on the spot." Annabelle looked at him, helpless. She didn't need his help. She wanted the post to be up for as long as the uproar would last. It was sort of fun watching how people blindly turned against her when she was the victim. Why was this man so nosy? Anyway, it could be seen that Rupert did it just because he cared. Annabelle felt moved at the thought of that. She smiled brightly. "I'm really fine." Moving closer, Rupert whispered in her ear, "Annabelle, you are my fiancé. It's my duty to protect you, understand?" His warm breath sprayed all over her neck, making her blush. Annabelle's heart began to beat faster. She held her breath. A strange sensation swept through her. Her toes curled. The next second, she bit the inside of her lower lip hard. How could she allow him to affect her this way? After she resumed breathing again, she pushed him away and said, "Someone might see us. Anyway, you shouldn't get too involved in my business. We aren't in a real relationship. I can take care of myself." Annabelle didn't like being indebted to anyone. Rupert had been of great help to her recently, so she didn't want it to become a pattern. Things would get complicated if it did. Rupert's face darkened. Conflicting glints flashed through his eyes as he had mixed feelings. However, he became calm again. Suddenly, he pulled her over. Annabelle fell into his arms involuntarily. "Be honest, Annabelle. Do you only see me as your contractual fiancé?" asked Rupert in a deep voice, wrapping his arm around her slender waist. His minty and warm breath sprayed on Annabelle's face. Her heart began to race again. She could see her reflection in his deep eyes, they seemed to be sucking her in. After a while, Annabelle looked away. She pushed him away again and pursed her lips. Finally, she asked, "What else are you to me?" Chapter 87. Nina was awake. Rupert's face darkened. Annabelle struggled in his arms, which aroused his desire to conquer her. Since she only saw him as her contractual fiancé, he wanted to show her that he was more than that. Maybe the dynamics of their relationship would change after that. Rupert held her tightly in his arms. Let go of me! Cried Annabelle, trying to break free. What if I don't? Rupert smiled coldly. The air in the break room seemed to freeze. All of a sudden, there was a knock on the door. Is someone in? Another voice said impatiently, who the hell locked the door from inside? Do they think the break room is theirs? This is ridiculous. Annabelle took the opportunity to break free from his embrace. Let me go. Annabelle opened the door and left the room. The two employees at the door were shocked after she darted past them. They stared at her back. Isn't that Annabelle? One of them asked curiously. Yes. Did she come here to hide because of the rumor? I guess she's guilty. I can't believe a murderer is working in this company. How dare she show up to work after what she did? You two are fired. A cold voice interrupted the gossip of the two employees. The gossiping women jumped when they saw Rupert staring daggers at them. Their ever so cold CEO looked even more vicious than before. The temperature in the break room seemed to drop to zero because of his presence. Rupert walked out of the tea room with both hands in his pockets, leaving the two employees stunned. As soon as Annabelle returned to her desk, she got a call from the cop, Apollo. Hello, officer. To what do I owe this call? Annabelle answered the phone and asked politely. Nina is awake. Apollo said in a somewhat serious voice. Really? Annabelle asked. Yes. As soon as she regained consciousness, we went over to hear her side of the story. She insisted that you pushed her into the lake, Apollo uttered more seriously. Oh, I see, Annabelle commented with a slight frown. She wasn't surprised at all. She hadn't expected Nina to say the truth. After all, the lass didn't like her one bit. It was funny that Annabelle was being framed by the person whose life she had saved. Apollo continued, pending the completion of the investigation, you shouldn't leave Daubug. You can be summoned to the station at any time. Not to worry, we will find out the truth. Annabelle nodded. All right, officer. The news about Annabelle being an attempted murderer didn't die down, although Rupert's men were working tirelessly. Nina woke up and alleged that Annabelle pushed her, so it went viral again. Many reporters gathered at the hospital and wanted to interview Nina. It was past visiting time, so they weren't allowed into the building. A reporter who had managed to get Nina's phone number called her. Word on the street is that you were pushed into Lover Lake by Annabelle, the fiancé of Benton Group CEO. Is that true? Nina began to shed crocodile tears. Yes, it's true. I didn't fall into the water by accident. Annabelle pushed me. She wanted to kill me. I heard that she's still roaming freely. Please use your platform to demand justice for me. Can you tell us more details? Why did Annabelle try to kill you? Have you guys had any fights before? It's a long story. How about this? Come to my ward tomorrow, so we can talk face to face. A cunning and insidious light flashed through Nina's eyes. She wanted to drop her so-called story in bits and pieces for now. If she opened up via the phone, the uproar wouldn't last. She wanted to milk this issue for fame while also bringing Annabelle down. A phone interview wasn't as tantalizing as a live one. She knew that the story would go viral if her crying face was broadcasted live for the whole world to see. The viewers were sure to curse Annabelle more than ever before. Nina made an appointment with the reporters to give an exclusive interview in the ward tomorrow at visiting time. She would tell them in detail how she was framed, pushed into the water by Annabelle, and how the cold-blooded culprit refused to rescue her when she was drowning. After Nina got off the phone, her eyes gleamed with malice. She was certain that she would send Annabelle to prison for good. The near-death experience wasn't in vain, after all. Her sworn enemy was going to be behind bars. Nina was going over how she would act pitiful tomorrow when a strange call suddenly came through. Thinking it was a reporter, she took on her pitiful voice again. Hello. Nina, it's me. Heather's voice came from the other end of the line. You did a good job this time. Thanks. Annabelle will be defeated this time. Trust me. A smug smile appeared on Nina's face. I plan on putting on my best act in front of the media and the police. Besides, Kathy and her classmate already testified in my favor. Annabelle is sure to get locked up for a few years. I like the sound of that. Heather was very satisfied. Although this wasn't how we planned it, this still works. I just want that bitch out of my way. By the way, there's no implicating evidence, right? Of course not. Nina said confidently. I checked the place carefully before taking action. Annabelle and I were the only ones there at that time. Even Kathy and her classmate didn't show up until I fell into the lake. I'm dead sure no one else knows that I accidentally fell into the water while trying to push Annabelle in. That's good. Heather nodded with satisfaction. Once this is done, I'll give you all that I promised. And you will also be able to return to Benton Group. Thank you. There was determination in Nina's eyes. She had gone all out just to get rid of Annabelle and return to Benton Group. Failure wasn't an option for her this time. At night, the top trending news online was about Annabelle and Nina. The bashing Annabelle received multiplied after people learned that the victim pointed fingers at her. A great percentage of them even called for her immediate arrest. In the CEO's office, Rupert leaned back in his seat and scrolled through Twitter. Almost all the tweets on his feed were about the incident involving Annabelle and Nina. He squinted slightly. Finley pushed the door open and said, "Sir, I've found what you asked me to look for." He held out a U-disc to Rupert. Rupert took the U-disc, inserted it into the computer, and played it. After that, his sexy lips parted. "Very good. Should I order someone to take down all slanderous posts about Annabelle?" Finley asked for instructions. The media was becoming more and more untrustworthy, they wrote anything just for traffic. They even wanted to hold live interviews. So stupid. After tapping his chin for a while, Rupert said, "No need." Chapter 88 Counterattack, Part 1, It was a quiet night. Lying on her side on the sofa, Annabelle stared at her phone screen. The uproar online was louder than it was this morning. People were cursing her to no end. Some trolls even called for her to be drowned like she allegedly did to Nina. Everyone was looking forward to watching tomorrow's live broadcast. They longed to hear the testimony from the victim. They prepared their virtual stones, ready to attack Annabelle once her wickedness was confirmed. Annabelle pouted her lips. "Tomorrow? I can't wait." Suddenly, her phone rang. She saw that it was Anthony calling. "Ada, I have completed the assignment you gave me. Check your email, I sent it already," Anthony said on the other end of the phone. Annabelle nodded with satisfaction. "Thank you. No problem. Nina is playing with fire. She won't expect what's coming for her." Anthony sneered. "Ada, don't let them go." "Huh? Do I look like a softie to you?" Annabelle's voice was calm, but the hint of resolve was enough to make even the mightiest men shudder. "That's what I'm talking about," Anthony exclaimed. "It's a piece of cake for Ada to slay her enemies." "Don't flatter me, boy," Annabelle chuckled. After ending the call, Annabelle was about to click on the email icon when she heard a clear voice from the door. "Who was that on the phone?" Annabelle raised her head. She saw Rupert leaning against the doorframe with a faint smile. Annabelle was stunned. She remembered shutting that door. How did he get in without her hearing a sound? How much of her conversation with Anthony did he hear? It was all good, anyway. She hadn't said anything inappropriate. Annabelle sat up and asked, "Why are you here?" "I remember locking that door." Rupert stepped into the room and uttered with a smirk, "This is my house, remember?" Annabelle sighed helplessly. "Fine." Rupert walked to her and sat down with his legs crossed. "Have you seen the latest viral post? I heard that Nina will have a live interview tomorrow." "Yeah, everyone is talking about it online," Annabelle replied calmly. "Aren't you afraid?" Rupert turned to look at Annabelle. "Why should I be? I'm innocent." Annabelle sneered. A clear conscience fears no accusation. The liars are the ones to be afraid, isn't that right?
You have a point. Rupert nodded in agreement. Women were known to be very emotional people. They were sure to burst into tears if anyone framed or wronged them. However, Annabelle was so calm as if she wasn't in the middle of a storm. Rupert was bedazzled by her strong psyche.
Anything else?
I want to go to bed. Annabelle feigned a yawn. She wanted to check the information that Anthony sent her, so she tried chasing Rupert away. The reason Rupert had come here was to tell Annabelle not to worry her head over the news of Nina's tell-it-all broadcast tomorrow. But now, it seemed that wasn't necessary. Taking a look at her, Annabelle stood up and said, "Sleep tight." The moment the door was shut, Annabelle clicked on the email and opened the file Anthony had sent her. A second later, her lips curled up in a smile. Nina was such a fool. Annabelle was going to expose her vicious deeds during the live interview tomorrow. At the crack of dawn the next morning, journalists from various media houses gathered at the gate of the hospital. They didn't want to miss the first-hand information. Once visiting time came, they rushed into the building like cattle moving into a green field. Nina lay in the hospital bed with a sickly face. Kathy was also in the ward under the guise of visiting her. "Dear journalists, thank you for coming today." Nina feigned weakness and struggled to sit up on the bed. Seeing that the cameras were already rolling, Kathy held Nina and said, "Be careful. You know you are still in a bad state." The leading reporter began the interview. "Hello, everyone. I believe that you are all curious about what happened between Nina and Annabelle. There have been many speculations, but what is the truth? Today we are here at Nina's ward to ask the people involved what transpired that day." A reporter asked Kathy, "Miss Benton, rumor has it that Annabelle is your cousin Rupert Benton's fiance. What's your take on this?" Kathy clarified. "It's a false rumor. Don't you know who my cousin is? How can a good and upright man like Rupert be engaged to a heartless woman? The Benton family is no place for criminals like Annabelle. Only good people are welcome."
"I see." The reporters all heaved a sigh of relief. They had been afraid of stepping on Rupert's toes. Their worry dissipated now that Kathy denied Annabelle's ties with Rupert and the Benton family as a whole. The reporters turned to today's protagonist, Nina. "Miss Jones, this might be difficult for you, but can you tell us what happened at Lover Lake on that unfortunate day? Many people want to know the truth." With a pale face, Nina began, "First of all, I want to thank you all for your concern." Nina held her chest and continued, "That day, my friend and I were supposed to have fun at Lover Lake, but she cancelled at the last minute because something came up. I decided to walk around alone. During the stroll, I bumped into Annabelle near the lake. She started raining insults on me as soon as she set eyes on me. She even wished me death. I was just about to get away from her when she pulled me back and pushed me into the lake. As I struggled to stay afloat, Annabelle kept asking me to die." Nina wiped her cheeks when she finished speaking. Another journalist asked, "What do you think could have been Annabelle's motivation for pushing you into the lake?" Nina burst into tears. "I'm not sure, but I think it has something to do with the grudge she holds against me. When I was still working in Benton Group, Annabelle was envious of me. I thought it was just a mere dislike. It came as a shock to me that she hated me to the extent of wanting me dead. I'm a bad swimmer. I struggled with all my strength and called out for help when I could. Annabelle just stood ashore and yelled at me to die faster." Kathy chipped in, "Yes, that's true. My classmate and I happened to see how Annabelle pushed Nina into the lake." And there you have it, viewers. It turned out that the speculations and bits of news were true. Annabelle intentionally pushed Nina into the lake. Criminals like Annabelle shouldn't be allowed to roam freely. We believe that the long arms of the law will catch up with her soon, the lead reporter said to the camera seriously. Those words caused a round of applause from the audience. They called Annabelle many unprintable names. It was at this moment that Annabelle arrived at the door of the ward. She overheard those words. Holding her head up high, she walked into the ward majestically. Chapter 89 Counterattack, Part 2, Nina was shocked for a while. Her eyes filled with rage and disdain, she responded, "Annabelle, you're a murderer. How dare you show up here?" The reporters gazed at Annabelle as they heard her voice, worried about missing information, and focused their cameras on her. Nobody expected Annabelle would show up. Many internet users cursed her. They thought that she would be hiding. On the other hand, the arrival of Annabelle would make things more exciting for the media. The conflict between the two would make their live interview more enjoyable and appealing to the public, and viewership would increase. One reporter stepped forward and asked Annabelle, "Nina and Kathy have told us what happened at Lover Lake. They all claim that you pushed Nina into the lake. Is that true? Kathy, did you honestly see me push Nina into the lake?" Annabelle chuckled. "Yes. My classmate and I witnessed the incident," Kathy replied firmly. "Are you sure?" Annabelle then looked at Nina and sneered. "What about you, Nina? Did you see it clearly? Did I push you into the lake?" "Yes. You're so wicked that you wanted to murder me. How could I possibly be wrong? You were the one who pushed me into the lake," Nina shouted furiously, her pale face distorted and her eyes filled with hatred. "Well, Nina, you claimed I pushed you into the lake, intending to kill you. But you're still alive, aren't you? Who rescued you?" Annabelle inquired abruptly. Nina was astounded. She was well aware that Annabelle was the one who rescued her and gave her CPR. But there was no way she was going to tell the truth. She stared at Annabelle angrily and replied, "I passed out at that time. How could I know? What about you, Kathy? Since you saw me push Nina into the water, you must have seen who rescued her, right?" Annabelle stated indifferently, crossing her arms over her chest. Kathy hesitated for a second before responding, "It was Rory. Rory, were you the one who rescued Nina?" Annabelle raised her voice and inquired, looking at the ward's door. "Rory." The reporters were ecstatic. They couldn't believe that Rory also came. Rory stepped in and removed his hat and sunglasses, revealing his beautiful face. "Oh, my goodness. It's indeed Rory, the movie star." Everyone knew Rory was a low-key guy who rarely accepted interviews from the media. Many reporters would follow him all night to take a photo of him. But now Rory showed up there. "Rory, were you also present when the accident happened at Lover Lake that day?" a reporter asked. "Yes." Rory nodded. The reporter continued, "Did you see what happened at that time? Was Annabelle the one who pushed Nina into the lake?" Rory cleared his throat and replied gently, "No, that day, we went to Lover Lake to shoot an advertisement. Annabelle went in search of the perfect shooting location. When I arrived at the scene, I saw Nina in the lake. I quickly jumped into the water to rescue Nina but almost drowned since I'm not a good swimmer. Thankfully, Annabelle jumped into the water and rescued both of us." The reporters exchanged shocked glances after hearing Rory's statements. Annabelle was the one who saved Nina. Why would Annabelle jump into the lake to save Nina if she was the one who pushed her into the water and planned to kill her? Seeing the reporters' puzzled expressions, Rory withdrew his phone from his pocket, opened the picture library, and showed it to them. "This is the video I shot at the time. Take a look." Annabelle was skillfully conducting CPR for Nina in the video, with sweat all over her forehead. "As you can see, if I pushed Nina into the lake, why would I bother saving her? Is there a problem with my brain?" Annabelle asked sarcastically while staring at the reporters. The reporters nodded and looked at Nina suspiciously. When Kathy saw this, she answered quickly, "Because you thought Nina was dead at the time. You did CPR merely to prove your innocence. Do you think I'm as stupid as you who can't even tell the difference between the living and the dead?" Annabelle sneered as she messaged the space between her eyebrows. Some reporters burst out laughing when they heard Annabelle's statement. "Annabelle, don't think you can cover up your crime of trying to kill Nina with just a few words." Kathy's face darkened. "Yes." Nina crossed her arms over her chest and scowled at Annabelle. Even if you rescued me, it wouldn't change the fact that you pushed me into the lake and wanted to kill me.
Really?
Who intended to kill whom? Who attacked me with a knife in Benton Group's garage?
Annabelle questioned. Reporters, hearing Annabelle's statements, questioned eagerly, "Do you mean
Benton Group's underground garage was monitored?"
Annabelle went to the monitoring room this morning to obtain the surveillance footage of that day.
Annabelle began playing the video at this time. In the video, Nina insulted Annabelle, pulled out a knife and attempted to stab her. Simultaneously, she yelled, "Annabelle, go to hell."
The video paused abruptly, and Annabelle stated coldly, "Everyone has seen it. Nina was the one who tried to stab me with a knife and wanted to kill me. That was also the case at Lover Lake that day. She tried to push me into the lake and accidentally fell into the water."
Annabelle's video was streamed live to viewers throughout the country. At this very moment, viewers began to comment, "Oh my God, Nina is a horrible person. Annabelle seems to have turned the table. The story is becoming increasingly intriguing. Keep on. Rory is quite attractive. Is there anyone who wishes to see him like me? I will always stand for Rory and Annabelle."
Nina's face hardened.
"Annabelle, stop talking nonsense. You were the one who pushed me into the lake."
"Nonsense."
Annabelle sneered. "Didn't you try to stab me with a knife? Didn't you yell that I should go to hell?"
Everyone present nodded and looked at Nina curiously. Nina was too agitated to think clearly.
"Even if I wanted you dead at the time, it didn't mean anything. It was not like what happened in Lover Lake."
Annabelle laughed. "You finally admitted it. You wanted to kill me, didn't you?"
Chapter 90 Counterattack, Part 3, Nonsense. Nina glared at Annabelle, biting her lower lip and clenching her fists until her fingernails pierced her flesh.
"Don't mix the two things up. How does what you said change the fact that you tried to kill me?
Nina, you aren't going to back down, huh?"
An icy expression appeared on Annabelle's face the next second. She took out her phone and clicked on the file Anthony sent to her yesterday. "Here is the record of your browser history. Days before the incident, you searched for how to kill a person without getting caught. Most of the articles you clicked were about pushing people into a lake so it would look like an accidental drowning."
"That's a fucking lie. I never searched for such. You are trying to frame me."
Nina broke out in cold sweat. Her eyes twinkled with panic when she saw the browser history records on Annabelle's phone. She cleared her browser history once she was done.
How did Annabelle get a hold of the records? Was that even possible?
Nina kept giving herself a pep talk in her head. As far as she knew, it was impossible for anyone to get deleted browser records. She took a deep breath and put on a defiant mask.
"You faked these records. I have never browsed such things in my life. I can't believe you would stoop so low, Annabelle. You are still hurting me despite what you did."
Annabelle chuckled. "Just so you know, I already asked the police to get your computer. You cleared your browsing history. However, it might interest you to know that doesn't change a thing. Technology is more advanced these days. A skilled hacker can easily restore the records in no time. Soon, we will know the truth."
"You?"
Nina was too stunned to speak. She pointed at Annabelle as her face turned deathly pale.
"Calm down. I'm not finished yet."
With a smug smile, Annabelle took out a pen recorder and spun it with her fingers.
"I believe you will be more interested in this."
Under everyone's curious gaze, Annabelle pressed the play button. A record began playing. It was a record of the conversation between Nina and Talia.
"Nina, your father went gambling again and lost a lot of money. He's owing a creditor a huge sum. This morning, the creditor came knocking and vowed to kill us if we didn't pay up. I don't know what else to do. Can you help us pay up?"
Talia uttered, almost wailing.
"Mom, don't worry. Give me some time. I'll soon return to Benton Group. Then I will have enough money to clear the debts."
There was great certainty and determination in Nina's voice.
"Really?"
Talia's voice was filled with doubt.
"Of course,"
Nina replied firmly.
Once I get rid of Annabelle for good, I can return to work at Benton Group.
Are you sure? Talia asked.
100% sure.
Have some faith in me, Mom. I'll get the best opportunity tomorrow, Nina said viciously. Annabelle will be at Lover Lake for an advertisement shoot tomorrow. Once I see that she's all alone near the lake, I'll push her into it without anyone noticing. She will drown in no time. Even if her body is later found, it will be ruled out as accidental drowning. A tumult of shouting broke out in the ward. The reporters were shocked to the bone. No one expected this shocking revelation.
Annabelle turned off the pen recorder and looked at Nina coldly.
Do you have anything else to say, Nina?
At this time, Nina's face was blue. She wished what just happened was a dream.
How the hell did Annabelle get a recording of her phone call with her mother?
Dear viewers, I believe you saw what just happened. The tables have just been turned. It appears there's more to the Lover Lake incident than meets the eyes.
The reporters didn't forget to interact with their audience despite the shock state they were in.
According to the latest evidence Annabelle brought, we think it's safe to say that Nina isn't the victim but the mastermind of the whole thing. Of course, we will leave it to the cops to investigate properly. We are looking forward to a fair judgment like everyone else.
The people connected to the live broadcast lost their cool at this moment. They began hurling insults at Nina.
What a shameless woman Nina is.
It turned out she fell into her own trap. I wish she had drowned to death.
We were wrong about Annabelle. She's innocent. I hope she can forgive us.
Annabelle is so cool. Love her.
Marry me, Annabelle.
Bah.
Stop dreaming. She's mine.
Some people praised and drooled over Annabelle with admiration.
Outside the ward, Rupert was sitting on a bench and staring at his computer screen with a smile. He initially planned to hand over the U-disc Finley gave him yesterday to the police this morning. But when he learned that Annabelle asked for a day's leave from the work, his curiosity made him tail her. To his surprise, Annabelle came over to Nina's ward. It was right when the tell-it-all interview was ongoing.
Nina lied that Annabelle pushed her.
Annabelle tendered irrefutable evidence that proved Nina to be a liar.
Rupert nodded thoughtfully.
No wonder she was so calm throughout yesterday.
It turned out that she was just sharpening her sword, waiting for the right time to strike her enemy.
Her counterattack was a kill shot.
Rupert couldn't help admiring this nominal fiancé of his.
After the reporters spoke to the audience for a handful of minutes, the cameras were panned to Nina and the reporters began interrogating her.
What do you have to say about the recording Annabelle just played?
That's your voice, right?
No.
It's fake.
Balling her fists, Nina gritted her teeth.
Annabelle doctored the recording. She's trying to set me up.
You are the liar, Nina. Annabelle has never wronged you.
A cold and sharp male voice suddenly came from the door.
Annabelle frowned immediately. She knew that voice far too well.
All eyes turned to the door involuntarily.
There, Rupert was standing in a black bespoke suit. His broad shoulders and chest were accentuated. Although his eyebrows were furrowed and his black eyes were cold, he still looked handsome. He walked in steadily with his hands in his pockets. His gait and aura were like that of a king.
Everyone was held spellbound at the sight of him.
The comments online went wild.
Oh, my God. Am I dreaming?
I have finally seen Rupert Benton.
I have always wanted to have a close look at him. Please take a close-up shot of him now.
You are the man of my dreams, Rupert.
I love you.
I love him, too.
Me too.
Me too.
Hundreds of thirsty comments dropped online in a matter of seconds.
Compared to the viewers, the reporters on ground shivered with fear.
Rumor had it that Annabelle was Rupert's fiancée.
They had criticized Annabelle before now, so they were scared of incurring this powerful man's wrath.
Good day, Mr. Benton. May we know why you came here today?
A reporter asked cautiously.
Rupert made a giant stride to where Annabelle stood. He held her hand, looked at her affectionately, and said seriously, I came here to make sure my lovely fiancée gets justice.